like her father, Tate comments. We sit down, and I'm happy to see that my seat gives me a great view of Monica. She is only two tables away, and our seats are on opposite sides of the table, so we're facing each other. She catches my eye and gives me a small smile. Then I see the douchebag push in her chair and take the seat next to hers. My smile is stiff, and I look away quickly, not wanting to see any more. Simone is sitting to the right of me and asks me what I thought of my first time volunteering at Safe Zone. Honestly, it was an eye-opening experience for me. I loved helping the residents, but I also feel pretty helpless at the same time. I wish I could do more to protect them. Her eyes soften at my response.
They really liked you, Max, especially little Lucy. She loves that stuffed monkey you guys gave her. What's its name? Coco?
Coconut, I correct her. Warmth settles in my chest at the thought of Lucy keeping our monkey and remembering me in a positive light. Lucy was really afraid of me at first. I'm glad she came around. The chatter continues around me as we are served food. Everyone makes polite small talk, but I really like Simone and her husband, Will. Tate and I end up chatting with them the most. I'm doing my best to stay focused on the current conversation, but I can't help glancing up at Monica every few minutes. She looks more relaxed than she did earlier, but I notice the douchebag has his arm on the back of her chair. She is sitting up straight, so her back is not touching the chair, but he lifts his hand to graze his fingers along her bare neck. My blood boils at the sight of his hands touching her. She stiffens at his touch and scoots forward on her chair to get out of reach. He drops his hand and straightens in his chair. Her reaction stops me from marching over to her table and physically removing his hands from her body.
Max,
Tate repeats my name. I snap back to attention, looking away from Monica. What?
We were just talking about a program I'm thinking of starting with the kids at Safe Zone. They need positive interactions with men, and I think you'd be great with the kids. It's kind of like a Big Brother program,
Simone tells me. I'd love to help out. Thank you for thinking of me. I think of Lucy and other kids like her, and my heart squeezes. As dinner winds down, the lights dim, and the DJ announces that the bidding table is ready and dancing will start soon. People start to get up from their seats to mill around. The people at Monica's table have gotten up, but she remains seated with fuckface. He's turned in his chair to face her and is smiling his most winning smile as they talk. Wish I could hear what he's saying. She must feel my stare because she looks up at me. I pull out my cell phone and discreetly type a text to her. Me. Hi. I watch as she retrieves her cell from her purse and checks my message. Her lips turn up into a small smile, and she bites her lip as her fingers swipe across her phone. My cell vibrates a moment later. Monica.
Hi. How are you doing over there?
Me. He touched you. Monica.
I know, but only for a moment. I moved away from him, didn't you see?
Me. Yes, but it makes me want to touch you. Monica.
I like it when you touch me.
Max, how are you tonight?
I look up to find Dr. Rossetti standing next to me. I pocket my phone quickly and stand to talk to him.
Good, how are you, Rossetti?
Well, I had to get dressed up in this monkey suit, so I'm not quite as comfortable as I'd like, but the food was good, so that's a plus.
He pulls on his collar. Tony Rossetti is much more comfortable in his scrubs or shorts and a t-shirt. The food was amazing.
Did you see who Monica is here with?
He asks me. Shit. And Monica is right about him suspecting us. Yes, I met him earlier. I'm trying so hard to keep my tone light.
I think she needs to be rescued, he says.
I look over to Monica and find him standing next to her with his hand out. He's asking her to dance. She shakes her head in protest, but he pulls her up, nodding toward the dance floor. Fuck. My blood pressure starts to rise at the sight of him ushering her away from me. I feel Rossetti's eyes on me, and I try to rein in my emotions.
Maybe you should rescue her, I suggest.
He chuckles.
I'm going to need rescuing in a moment. As soon as my wife sees the dancing has started, she's going to try to drag me out there. I'm on my way to get another drink and hide.
At this point, Monica and the fucktard are in the center of the dance floor, and he has wrapped his arms around her. She stands there stiffly with her hands on his chest, preventing him from standing flush against her. I can't take this.
I'll come have a drink with you. You're a terrible actor, he says quietly. Just go to her. It's obvious she wants to be with you and you want to be with her. I don't know why you guys are tiptoeing around each other.
No, it's not like that, I say quickly, trying to backtrack and deny. He holds his hands up, placating me.
Okay, fine. Sorry if I was out of line. I just think you guys might be good together.
His positive reaction to the thought of me and Monica as a couple is a balm to my rotten mood.
But I'm sure of one thing. She doesn't want to be with that guy. So do me a favor and go over there. Tell her she was paged by the ER, whatever. Just make something up so she doesn't have to dance with him.
He doesn't have to work hard to convince me because I really want to go over there and cut in.
Okay, here I go. Catch you later.
He slaps me on my back as I make my way to the dance floor. I find Monica and Caleb, and my eyes zero into his hands stroking her back again. I clench my jaw and try to keep my muscles loose. They both look at me when I step up close.
Mind if I cut in?
Monica's eyes widen, and she looks around to see if anyone is watching us.
No, we aren't finished here.
Caleb brushes me off and turns Monica away from me. I see his fingers dig into her back, and my blood pressure starts to rise. I'm about 2 seconds from breaking his fingers. I step to follow her.
Dr. Morgan, Dr. Rossetti said he needed to talk to you about a page from the ER.
She looks up at me, eyebrows raised.
Really?
I nod.
He says they paged the both of you. Did you get it?
I know she left her phone and purse at the table. She starts to pull away, but Caleb won't let her go.
Don't you have someone covering for you tonight?
Caleb asks, holding onto her arm.
I do, but I need to check this out.
Come on, let's finish this discussion. You can check in later.
If someone was paging you from your department, would you put it off until later? Please, let me go. I need to check on this.
She wriggles out of his grasp and walks with me to her table to get her purse.
Thank you for coming over there. I'm sorry, Max, but he kept insisting that we dance. I was trying to pull away from him.
I know.
I clench my jaw.
Is there really a page?
She looks at her cell phone to check for messages.
No, but act like there is. Let's go find a quiet place you might go if you needed to return a call.
Caleb is watching us from where we left him, standing on the dance floor, hands on his hips, scowl on his face. Monica grabs her purse and we walk out of the ballroom into the hall. To the left is a hallway with restrooms, and to our right is a dark hallway with several closed doors. We head that way to the end of the quiet corridor and test out the very last door. It's unlocked and opens to a dark, empty office. I usher her inside and close the door behind us. As soon as the door latches, I push her up against it and kiss her. I touch her everywhere, her soft face, her silky shoulders, her bare back, down her waist to her amazing ass. She moans into my mouth, drops her purse and clutches at my shoulders.
I need to touch you, I tell her.
Touch me.
I do. My hands pull the fabric of her long dress up, baring her legs to me. I can't see much in the dark room, but I feel that she is wearing thigh highs.
Holy hell.
I toy with the edges of the stockings and move higher, gripping her hips and moving the dress up to her waist.
I can't stand you being with him,
I rasp into her ear. I touch her bare ass and discover that she is wearing a thong. There is a tiny strip of fabric buried between her butt cheeks, and I slide my finger under it, pulling on it, testing the strength. She whimpers and wriggles against me.
I'm not with him.
She shakes her head in denial.
You're mine.
I'm a man possessed. I need to prove to myself that she's mine. She nods frantically.
I'm yours, Max.
I reach in between her legs and find the fabric of her underwear soaking wet. My fingers stroke back and forth, and she gasps, moving her hips to rub herself on my fingers. I push her underwear to the side, touch her bare pussy, and slide my fingers into her. Her gasps turn into moans, and I feel her contract around my fingers.
Fuck. I need you,
I groan. Take me.
I turn her around so she's facing the door, and she bends at the waist, sticking her ass out to me. It takes 2 seconds to unbuckle my pants, unzip and free my painfully hard cock. With one hand, I hold her underwear off to the side, and with the other, I rub my cock head against her entrance, wetting it with her arousal. I slide it up and down, teasing her clit. She pushes back toward me, impatient.
Spread your legs, I command.
She widens her stance, giving me better access, and I push inside.
Fuck.
We both groan at the feel of that first thrust. I grab onto her hips and proceed to fuck her. It's fast, it's hard, it's primal. I need to claim her, mark her, come inside her.
Max,
she pants, bracing herself against the door as I slam into her. My orgasm is approaching, and while I'd typically try to hold it at bay, this time I welcome it.
I'm going to come, I warn her. Yes,
she chants. She meets my thrusts, grunting as I fuck her. Digging my fingers into her hips, I pull her back toward me so I'm standing still and she's bouncing off my cock. Her whimpers turn into soft cries, and I feel her pussies start to flutter around me. With a grunt, I bury myself inside her and come. My cock pulses as I fill her up, and her pussy clamps down around me with her orgasm. I lean forward and wrap my arms around her, pulling her into my chest. We're both breathing heavy, and I rock in and out of her slowly, milking every last bit of pleasure I can. She sags into my arms, legs wobbly on her heels. I lean my head down to rest on her shoulder and kiss her soft skin.
I love you.
I love you too.
Did I hurt you?
No, I'm okay.
I don't like pretending anymore. I state the obvious.
I know, Max. I'm sorry. We can leave now if you want.
My cock starts to soften, and she squirms at the feeling of me slipping out of her. We look around for some tissues, but don't find any. Does it make me perverted if I admit I like the fact that my cum is all over you right now? She chuckles.
Jealousy turns you into a caveman.
The tension from the night has drained out of me, and I laugh with her. It would seem so.
Let me go to the bathroom, and we can get out of here,
she says with a soft kiss. She pulls her dress down, and I tuck myself back in.
Do I look?
She trails off, feeling her hair to make sure it's still intact. I stare at her. Her cheeks are flushed, but it makes her look radiant. Her makeup is no worse for wear, and while her dress has a few wrinkles, it looks beautiful. You look perfect. I retrieve her purse from the floor and open the door just a crack to see if anyone is outside. I don't see anyone in the dark hallway, so I open the door wide and let her pass in front of me. We make our way down the hall, and just as we're about to pass the entrance to the ballroom to reach the restrooms, the door opens and Monica's father walks out, with Dr. Finley right behind him. The sight of them makes Monica freeze. She drops my hand and steps away from me. It's probably only 6 inches, but it feels like a mile. The two men are headed toward the exit, and I think we are going to go unnoticed. But then Murphy's Law decides to laugh in our faces. A short Latina woman exits the ladies' room directly across from us and walks in our direction. She is likely headed back toward the ballroom, but stops when she sees us.
Monica! Max!
Paula Ramos shouts as she walks over to us and pulls us into a group hug. Oh, shit. Mrs. Ramos is our salsa instructor.
What is she doing here?
This, of course, gets the attention of Monica's father and Dr. Finley. I have never met him before, but I know he is the head of the board of directors. They stop walking and turn to face us. Mrs. Ramos, nice to see you. I say, at a normal volume, hoping she'll get the hint to use her inside voice. This is a surprise. I risk a glance at Monica, and she is panicking. Perfect. Just perfect.
It is a small world,
she practically yells, beaming at us.
I come to this benefit every year. Did I ever tell you that you two are my most favorite students?
I guess Mrs. Ramos doesn't know any other volume than loud. I wrap my arm around her and try to walk toward the ballroom before our observers hear anything else she has to say.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Ramos. You are an excellent teacher.
Sweat gathers on my upper lip as I try to figure out how to change the subject. She stops walking and carries on, loud as ever.
Not to mention my favorite couple. I have really enjoyed watching you two fall in love.
She giggles and looks right at Monica's dad.
You should see these two lovebirds when the lights go dim. They can't keep their hands off each other. Reminds me of me and my husband when we first started dating.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Ramos. I look over at Monica. The color has drained from her face, and she looks like she may vomit. Dr. Finley looks confused, and Dr. Morgan starts to walk our way with a scowl. Great. Just great. Monica's dad and her boss just heard that I grope Monica. Shit, shit, shit. The only thing to do now is damage control. Nice to see you, Mrs. Ramos, but we have to get going. I reach my hand out to Monica. Come on, let's get some air, I suggest. She shakes her head and takes a step away from me. Those two little movements, the shake of her head and the step away from me for the second time in the last 2 minutes, feels like she just slapped me across the face. The sting of rejection makes my stomach drop. Her father reaches us, fuming.
Monica, is this some kind of joke?
He asks, incredulous.
What is this woman talking about?
Mrs. Ramos's cheerful attitude is not affected by his scathing tone.
I teach salsa dancing at the studio by the hospital. Monica and Max have been taking lessons for weeks,
she explains with a smile. I close my eyes and sigh. The gig is up.
Are you dating this man? Dr. Morgan spits out. A nurse from your department? He barks. And dancing again?
He enunciates dancing as if it is equivalent to worshiping Satan. Monica wraps her arms around her body as if to protect herself from this onslaught. Hey, can you lower your voice? I ask in the calmest tone I can muster. He eyes me with disgust.
I need to have a word with my daughter, if you'll excuse me.
Acid drips from his words. The smile fades from Mrs. Ramos's mouth when she realizes she has just revealed a secret.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cause any trouble.
Her wide eyes meet mine. I give her a reassuring smile. No worries, Mrs. Ramos. You have a good night.
Monica, what are you thinking?
He towers over her, red-faced and angry. Monica cowers further, and I see her start to tremble. She is completely losing all composure right now, and I don't know what to do. But I'll be damned if I'm going to let her father physically scare her. I step in between them, shielding her with my body. Dr. Morgan, I can see that you are upset right now, but please don't talk to Monica like that. Shock fills his face at my audacity, and he is momentarily speechless. I take the opportunity to look at Dr. Finley. He is studying this exchange with a frown. Dr. Morgan gets in my face and says,
Listen here, Mr. Spencer. I'm not sure what game you're playing at, but you need to leave so I can talk to my daughter.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not going anywhere. You can talk with her when you're calm. I reach behind me, take Monica's hand, and pull her with me to the exit. This time she takes my hand and walks with me. I nod at Dr. Finley as we pass. The cool air feels good on my overheated skin. As soon as we stop outside, I turn to face Monica and pull her into my arms. Are you okay? Her eyes are shut, and she won't look at me. I rub her back, gently. I'm sorry that just happened the way it did. I am sorry. But at the same time, a part of me is relieved that we don't have to hide anymore. It's finally out in the open. If Dr. Finley knows, we can finally face the music, get hospital policy, and figure out how to navigate it.
Can you take me home?
She whispers. Sure. Just let me text Tate to let her know I'm leaving. Me. Hey, we had a bit of a scene with Monica's dad. Tate.
Oh no. Everything okay?
Me. The cat is out of the bag. Tate.
I gather it didn't go well.
Me. She wants to leave. You want to come with? Tate.
Take care of your girl, I'll catch a ride with Simone.
Me. Thanks, Tate. Okay, Tate, we'll get a ride with Simone. Let's go. We walk to my car, and I feel Monica withdrawing from me. When we get to my car, I reach for her. Baby, what can I do? She hasn't said much since we left, and it worries me.
I'm sorry,
she mutters, still not meeting my eyes.
I just need to get out of here.
I hate the distance between us. I hate the wall she's putting up. I hate the way she's hugging herself instead of hugging me. I hate everything about this moment. She is as untouchable as when I first discovered she is my boss's boss. Okay. I'll take you home.
Chapter 16. Fuck my life. Monica. The day after the fundraiser, I do something I haven't done since I became a physician. I stay home and pretend to be sick. Cowardice has gotten the best of me. I don't want to face anyone about the shit show last night. I can't even bring myself to actually call in. Instead, I send out a group email to the docs covering the ER. The scenes keep replaying in my mind on a loop. Max and I having sex in the empty office. Dr. Finley and my dad leaving the ballroom at the exact moment we were walking down the hall. Mrs. Ramos, of all people, shouting about how Max and I can't keep our hands off each other. My father humiliating me. And the icing on the cake. Dr. Finley witnessing everything with a front row seat. What a clusterfuck. I stay in bed late into the day, skipping breakfast and lunch. My stomach is so queasy from stress, I can't imagine eating. I turn over, burying my face in my pillow. The scent of Max is on my sheets, and I inhale deeper. Was it just 24 hours ago that Max and I made love and said the words out loud to each other? Yesterday went from the highest high to the lowest low. I don't even want to know what Dr. Finley is thinking right now. What was I doing, starting this thing with Max? I am not strong enough to handle this public attention. Maybe some people can go into work and not give a shit what other people think about them, but I'm not one of them. I don't want the board of directors to know I fell in love with a nurse working in my department. I don't want them to know we go out dancing and grope each other in public. I don't want them to know any of it. Is that so bad? My reaction to last night's drama hurt Max, but I couldn't control it. I was mortified. His concern was etched into his face, and I know he wanted to comfort me, to hold me and tell me everything would be okay. I'm afraid it won't be okay, though. I'm afraid Max deserves someone better than me. Someone stronger. Someone who will put him first. Am I willing to put Max first? To change jobs if I need to? It's just too early in our relationship to make that kind of a decision. If I need to choose between Max and my job, I'm not 100% sure what my decision will be. My stomach churns at the thought of breaking up with Max. How could I look into his gorgeous blue eyes and tell him I choose work over him? I can't even fathom never feeling his touch again, never being held in his arms again. No. I don't want that. That would be ridiculous. But what if Dr. Finley says I have to resign? Not only am I the youngest director at the hospital and one of the only female directors, I've worked at this hospital since medical school. I love my job. How could I throw all of that away for a man? The sound of the doorbell makes me move faster than I have all day. I jump out of bed and look out the window. A sleek black car sits in my driveway, and my father is on my doorstep. Fuck my life. On the way to the door, a mirror shows me that I am still in my pajamas with wild bedhead. Whatever. He is here unannounced and uninvited. I'm sick and tired of trying to measure up to whatever standards he has for me. This imperfect version of myself is who he gets today. I open the door, not hiding my annoyance at his unexpected visit. His nostrils flare as he takes in my unkempt appearance. I lean against the door jamb and stare back at him. What are you doing here? You left last night. he has the audacity to look disappointed. Did you expect me to stay?
I didn't expect you to leave.
He sighs.
May I come in?
Resigned, I step aside to let him pass and close the door behind him. He scans my house, looking for what, I'm not sure.
Is he here?
No, Max isn't here. I cross my arms in front of my chest, a weak attempt at defending myself against what he's going to say next. Then I get angry at myself. He was in the wrong last night on many counts. I'm not going to let him come into my house and make me feel bad. Dad, I am really upset with you, I start.
Are you? Well, I'm upset with you too. What are you upset about?
First of all, you can't speak for me as director. What you were doing with Caleb last night was completely out of line. He meets my eyes and nods in acknowledgement. It's not exactly an apology, but it's something. I'm not done yet. More importantly, though, you have to stop trying to manipulate me into doing what you want me to do. I'm an adult. I start ticking off items on my fingers. No more throwing your weight around as a physician in my department. You don't even work for the same hospital. Would you ever dare do that with a different director? My voice rises with my temper, but there's more to say, and I don't give him a chance to answer me. No more setting me up with dates or trying to dress me with your personal shopper or buying me cars. I need you to stop all of it. I'm out of breath with the effort it took to say all of that, but damn, it feels good to get that off my chest.
Are you done?
His acerbic tone cuts into me, just like it did when I was a little girl. I try to think of anything else I want to add while I have the guts. One more thing. What is your problem with me dancing? His nostrils flare in disgust. You need to focus on your career. It is an honor to be director of your department at such a young age. Do you honestly think you should risk that by acting like some floozy, going to clubs, taking salsa lessons, and dating a nurse that works with you? I know it's an honor to be director. I'm the one that works all the long hours that go along with having such a position. So don't throw it all away for some piece of trash that is just using you for your money. Max is not a piece of trash, I defend. No way am I going to let him talk about him that way. He is not after me for my money. Did you hire him before or after you slept with him? Excuse me? What the fuck? Did he really just say that? My blood pressure steadily rises as this conversation continues. You heard me. My guess is he seduced you to try to get a job. People like him, people who don't come from money, they'll do anything they can to get ahead in life. You have no idea what the fuck you are talking about. I fire back. Nice language. You are in my house. Your rules don't apply here, Dad. Not that any of this is your business, but Max and I met before we knew we worked together. He was already hired by the hospital. I don't hire the nurses personally. I'm not even a part of the interview process. HR and the nursing department handle that. I'm fuming. Let me guess. You met at a club. So what if we did? What kind of people do you think frequent clubs? His voice drips with condescension. Trashy people, that's who. College-aged kids looking to get laid, not well-respected physicians. I hate that this is exactly how I felt, that it was inappropriate for me to go out dancing. I think of the night Max and I met, and how I let him touch me on the dance floor. Last night I let him fuck me at the fundraiser. Shame floods my system, making me feel like the trash he's talking about. Max did not sleep with me to get me to hire him, I say with absolute certainty. I know with all my heart this much is true. The fight is draining out of me, and I just want him to leave.
Regardless, you know that it was inappropriate for you to continue to date him once you discovered he was a nurse in your department. It would serve you right to be fired over this.
I flinch, afraid of this very thing happening. I have been trying to give you guidance.
You need to date someone in your own social circle. You need a car fit for a director. You need to dress the part, too. I thought you had grown out of making bad decisions after your mother died. You cleaned up your act and focused on school and got a good job. But now, I see you continue to make one bad decision after another. You need to cut out all the garbage from your life and act like a respectable professional, or else you will never be treated like one. Are you kidding me? Ever since Mom died, we have had absolutely no relationship. She was the glue that held us together, and now she's gone. Giving me guidance by pushing your expectations on me is much different than being a father. I needed you! But you have always been more concerned about image than happiness. I am done. I pant, emotion clogging my throat. A meltdown is approaching, and I can't do this with him anymore. I need you to leave. Excuse me? You heard me. Please leave my house. I don't need your guidance and I don't need your respect. You certainly don't have mine. I walk to my front door and hold it open, looking down at the floor. My hands are shaking. I'm so upset, but I refuse to cry in front of him. I refuse to let him see how much this hurts. He walks out of my house without another word, gets in his rental car, and leaves. I go to my room, fall on my bed, and sob into my pillow like I did as a teenager. Now, more than ever, I miss my mom. I wish I could ask her what to do about Max, feel her arms around me in a hug. She gave the best hugs. Fighting with my dad is nothing new, but he has never outright told me he thinks I act like a whore. And I have never kicked him out of my house after going off on him. The fact that he left without fighting to salvage our relationship makes me realize we don't have any relationship left to salvage. Underneath the little girl who is disappointed in her father, I know I will be better off without him in my life. I just wish it didn't hurt so much.
Max. I can't say I was surprised to learn that Monica called in sick today. I'm not even a little surprised she hasn't responded to my text messages. What surprises me is how angry I am. Last night I was resigned to her pulling away from me. Today, I am pissed that she can shut me out so easily. Fuck that. Work passes slowly. I have never seen Dr. Finley in the ER before, and today is no different. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy to gossip, so I don't have to deal with any whispers or strange glances. Other than a curious gaze from Rossetti, who I managed to avoid, it is business as usual. Finally, my shift ends and I head over to Monica's house. We need to talk, and I refuse to let her give me the silent treatment. I text her to let her know I'm on my way, but get no response. My irritation fuels my pedaling power as I ride my bike to her house. I park in her driveway and ring the doorbell. It feels odd to do this, as she has given me her security code to get in through the garage, but given the circumstances, I can't just barge in. She opens the door in her pajamas, eyes red-rimmed and face splotchy. The sight of her upset makes me want to take her in my arms and soothe her, but I'm upset too.
"Hi,"
she says, looking sad. "Can I come in?" She opens the door wider and nods for me to enter. "Are you okay?" I ask her as we walk to her kitchen and sit at the island. She shrugs.
"I just couldn't go into work today,"
she admits, avoiding my eyes. "And what about responding to my texts? You couldn't do that either?" My tone is sharper than I intended, and she looks up at me, surprised.
"I'm sorry. My phone must be dead. I haven't heard any alerts go off today."
"You didn't think about getting in touch with me to let me know you called in sick?"
"No, I'm sorry."
"Look, Monica, I know you're upset about last night, but it isn't the end of the world. There are worse things that could happen other than Dr. Finley finding out we're dating.
It isn't your reputation or job on the line, so I don't expect you to understand."
"Are you serious right now? Is your job on the line? Did she get in trouble, and that's why she stayed home?"
"I honestly don't know, but I'm afraid it might be."
"So, what if it is? What if Dr. Finley calls you tomorrow and says you have to either stop dating me or resign? What would you do?" My heart is beating so fast I can hear it. This is a question I've never asked before because I have no idea what the answer is. She can crush me with her response, but I need to know where we stand. Just yesterday she told me she loves me. What good is love if she is ashamed of me? Do the last couple months together mean as much to her as they do to me?
I don't know, Max. You can't expect me to resign from my job. I'm the director of the department.
I know exactly what your job is, Monica. I would never ask you to resign to be with me, but if they approached me and gave me the same options, I would resign and get another job. I'm in love with you. I like my job, but it's not as important to me as you are.
That's easy for you to say. You've only been working as a nurse for a couple months. There are a ton of nursing jobs available, and I'm sure you'd get a new job in no time.
So, what you're saying is that my job is expendable, but yours isn't? I fire back.
No, that's not what I mean.
She hugs her midsection and looks away from me. The fact that you were too scared to face work today makes me feel like you are ashamed to be with me. Am I only good enough to date in secret but not in public? This is what it all boils down to. Am I enough for her?
No. Max, that's not what I said. You're putting words in my mouth.
This doesn't do much to reassure me. What if I was a doctor like Colin?
Caleb.
She corrects. Whatever. What if I was a doctor? Would you still be hesitant to tell your co-workers?
It wouldn't be the same. I'm not Caleb's boss.
So, the only way you could be comfortable with our relationship is if you weren't my boss, I clarify.
Max, I don't know what you want me to say here. Working together complicates things, you know that. You've known how I feel about that from the beginning.
She is exasperated. Here's what I know. I gather my thoughts. Looking into her eyes, I tell her, I never thought I could date someone like you. Someone so successful and wealthy, because I have struggled so much in my life to get to where I am. But I met you that first night without knowing any of that, and I was drawn to you. Not the doctor, not the bank account, you. I can't deny that being around you at work and seeing what a wonderful doctor you are made me more attracted to you. But that was only because I got to see another facet of you. I am in love with you. I understand that you are in a position of management over me, and that makes everything complicated, but it is what it is. This is me. I'm a nurse. My mom is a housekeeper and a waitress. I help pay her rent and for my sister's college education. I just graduated at 25 years old. I furnished my tiny apartment with things from Target. I hold my arms out next to me. This is me. And I'm in love with you. I won't be able to buy you expensive jewelry or take you on a vacation to Italy anytime soon, but I will do my best to make you happy.
You know I don't need expensive jewelry or exotic vacations to be happy, she says.
I believe that. I nod. Do you love me?
Yes,
she answers, eyes steady on mine. Do you love me enough to stop hiding our relationship and ask Dr. Finley what the repercussions of us dating are? She looks away.
We are bound to find out the repercussions at this point, whether we want to or not.
What if we went to him tomorrow to ask him how to navigate our relationship at work so everyone is comfortable? She sighs.
I'd rather not.
You can't keep treating me like I'm your dirty little secret. It makes me feel like you aren't proud to be with me, like I'm not good enough for you, I croak, bearing my vulnerability.
That is not how I feel, Max. Maybe I'm just not strong enough to deal with this. I don't want everyone at work to know my personal business. Is that so bad?
Her voice rises with emotion and I flinch. Well, I'm not pretending anymore, I say, still lacing my words.
What does that mean, exactly?
She looks at me warily. If you want to be with me, be with me, 100% of the time. I want all or nothing. I have reached the end of my rope, and I can't continue things as they are.
So if I'm not comfortable exposing our relationship at work, you're done?
She asks, eyes wide open, face flushing red. Am I done? Is this really what I want to do? I can't imagine being without her. But last night, watching her pretend to be with someone else, it hurt too much. I gather my dignity and go for broke. That's what I'm saying.
I just need a little bit more time. Max, don't do this,
she pleads, coming to stand in front of me. I stand too, arms stiff at my sides as she grasps at my shirt to pull me to her. I look at her face, her beautiful hazel eyes wide with emotion. Her creamy skin is blotchy. Her gorgeous hair is tied back in a haphazard ponytail. She's a mess. And yet she's still the most beautiful creature I have ever seen. My arms ache to pull her to me, to hold on tight and never let go. But I can't keep doing this to myself. I can't feel like I'm a problem to deal with. I clench my jaw as I grab hold of my resolve. When you're ready to be in a relationship, let me know.
Are you serious right now?
Her eyes fill with tears and her chin trembles. I can't do this anymore. I deserve someone who is as proud to be with me as I am to be with her. You don't want the complication of dealing with this at work? So let me uncomplicate it for you.
By ending things?
By giving you time to figure out what you want. I want everything with you, Monica. Do you want the same thing? She blinks, and the tears fall down her face.
My own eyes burn as I watch her hesitate.
She can't tell me she wants the same thing, and that is all the answer I need. Leaning down, I place a kiss on her forehead and breathe her in. Let me know when you want everything too. Then I do the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I walk out of her kitchen while she starts to cry. My legs carry me out of her house and to my bike in her driveway. Pedaling at least gives me something to focus on other than my heart breaking, and I ride home without even seeing my surroundings. Maybe it takes 30 minutes, maybe 5, but the next thing I know, I'm home. I lock up my bike and make my way up to my apartment. When I step inside, I look around, clueless as to what I'm supposed to do now. My stomach turns at the thought of eating. Fuck this. All I want to do is drive back to Monica's and beg her to change her mind, beg her to pick me. But I can't do it. So I undress, take a fast shower, and go to bed. This day needs to end. Maybe tomorrow won't suck as much as today did. Then I think of going to work tomorrow and seeing Monica there. Or maybe she'll call off again so she doesn't have to face me. I'm not sure which option I like better.
Chapter 17. Well, she's an idiot. Monica. The thought of going to work this morning fills me with more dread than it did yesterday. I didn't know that was even possible, but it is. I have no idea if Max is on the schedule. I debate feigning a stomach bug and staying home again, but I'm going to have to work with him eventually. I might as well get it over with today. His toothbrush mocks me from my bathroom counter. Just a couple days ago, the signs of Max around my house made me happy. Now each object is a painful reminder of his absence. How could things have gotten so fucked up, so fast? I knew hiding our relationship at work was bothering him, but I didn't expect him to give me that ultimatum. I want to call him and tell him I'll do anything he wants if he'll just come over and hug me. But then I think of what Max wants, a conversation with Dr. Finley about my love life, and I know I'm an absolute coward. The bagel I eat for breakfast tastes terrible and gets stuck in my throat. Or maybe it just can't get past the lump that has taken up permanent residence in my throat since yesterday. On my way into the building, I spot Max's bike on the rack, and my heart squeezes at the sight. He's definitely here.
I'm still surprised he has the inclination to ride a bike to work when he has a car. He joked that biking keeps him in shape. Half of me can't wait to lay eyes on him and be near him today. The other half wants to tuck tail, turn around, and go back home. I'm still such a mess inside, and I have no idea how I'm going to keep it together when I see him. You can do this, Monica. I take a deep breath, square my shoulders, and head into the building. After stowing my things in my office, I make my way to the ER. I hold my head high and force my arms away from my midsection. It feels like my guts are scattered, and I need to physically hold them in place to keep from falling apart. But walking around hunched over, with my arms hugging my midsection, makes me look too much like the heartbroken woman I am. Look normal, Monica. Act normal. Piece of cake. The ER is pretty quiet right now, and I try to slip by unnoticed. I sit at a workstation and catch up on my missed emails from yesterday while I wait for a patient to show up. So far, so good. I can do this. The first email is from one of the doctors with a research topic idea. As director, I need to sign off on research ideas before they can get approval and have funds allocated to their project. I welcome the distraction and read through the proposal. It's a good topic, and I tell the doctor so. Next, I have an email from Caleb asking me to go to lunch this week. Crap. I do not want to see him at all. I skip that one and look to the next. It's an email from Simone asking me why I disappeared Saturday night at the fundraiser. Ugh. My head starts to throb as I look through the next few emails. I respond to the work-related messages and shelve Caleb's and Simone's for now. Then I feel it. Someone looking at me. The back of my neck feels hot. I glance to the side to see if someone else is sitting at the nurse's station, and sure enough, Max is there. He looks away and stares at the computer screen in front of him, and I turn back to my own screen just as quickly. My heart gallops into overdrive. How is it that he is the first person I encounter today? I try to slow my breathing, but it's no use. He can probably hear my heartbeat from where he's sitting. Should I talk to him? What the heck would I even say? Good morning seems like a good place to start, but I can't force the words out. So, I sit here like the chicken shit that I am. Luckily, Kevin comes up to the counter in front of me. Hi, Dr. Morgan. He greets. Morning, Kevin. I muster. My voice is not as loud or strong as I'd hoped it would be, but it will have to do. Kevin proceeds to tell me about my first patient, and I try to remain focused, but all I can think about is Max sitting behind me. I ask a few questions, try to look normal, and go to evaluate the patient. As I turn to head toward the patient's exam room, my eyes involuntarily go to Max. God, he looks good. His thick, dark hair is tousled in that careless way that looks so appealing. His blue eyes contrast against his dark hair, making them appear brighter. I could drown in those eyes. And his lips, those full, soft lips that have been all over my body. I want to see them stretch into that knowing, playful grin he gives just to me. Every cell in my body screams to go to him. The attraction I feel for him today is no less intense because we're broken up. He must feel my stare because he turns to look at me. For 1 second, I see my Max. He scans my eyes, my face, my lips. A look full of longing and regret passes through his expression before it shutters closed. Then a carefully blank expression, devoid of his typical warmth, stares back at me, making me think I imagined the emotions I just saw. I hate this blank face. He nods briefly at me. Good morning, Dr. Morgan, he says. His tone is all business, as if he's just talking to a colleague, which I suppose is all I am to him now. I hate this impersonal tone. I hate everything about this moment. It's all wrong. The way he's looking at me, the way he's talking to me, The distance that stretches between us, despite being only a couple feet apart, I hate it all. Tears burn at the back of my eyes, but I refuse to fall apart at my first look at him. I clench my jaw, give him a brief nod, and walk to the exam room with purpose. This sucks. Tony knocks on my door as I'm getting ready to leave. I can't believe I've survived this shit day, and I'm anxious to get out of this place and go home.
"Hey, Monica," he says.
"What can I do for you, Tony?" I ask without looking up. I've held my emotions in check all day, but they are dangerously close to the surface. If I don't make my escape right now, I may break apart.
"I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to you at the fundraiser. Did Max rescue you from Caleb?"
At the sound of Max's name and this question, I almost drop my bag. I feel my eyes go wide as I ask, "What?" I'm probably hearing things.
"I sent him to come rescue you when Caleb was ushering you onto the dance floor. It looked like you didn't want to dance with him, so I told Max to tell you we got a page from the ER. Did it work?"
I blink rapidly, trying to keep my face neutral as the memories assault me. Max approaching us on the dance floor, then taking me back to that office, his hands on me as soon as the door closed, him telling me I was his. Not trusting my voice, I nod and try to force my lips into some semblance of a smile. He tilts his head and studies me. Shit, I'm not a very good actress.
"Hey.
Are you okay?" he asks quietly. I look down at my purse, studying the contents as if they have extremely valuable information. I've already packed everything I need, but I keep shuffling things around to look too preoccupied to make eye contact. "Of course. Did you and Heidi have fun?"
"Monica, we've worked together a long time."
Fuck, I do not like where this conversation is headed. "Close to 10 years.
It has been a long time. Yes. I've known you since you were in medical school, and I've admired your ambition. You've had to hold on tight to your professionalism, and it's taken 10 years for you to finally loosen up."
What? Excuse me?
"I hope I'm not out of line by saying all of this, but it has been a pleasure working with you these last couple of months. Not that it wasn't before, don't get me wrong. It's just that you were so stiff."
"Stiff?" I repeat dumbly. He smiles kindly at me and nods.
"I know you haven't always been a fan of my antics, but I like to have fun at work. Recently, you've gone from a stickler for the rules to actually participating in pranks and joking with the staff. I've never seen you so happy."
I look away. I was happy.
"I was hoping the cause of that happiness was Max."
Shit. He totally knows. He must see my alarmed expression because he raises his hands in surrender.
"Hey, it's cool if that's not the reason, but I could tell something is off between the two of you today. You don't have to tell me about it, but I hope you guys work it out. He's good for you."
My legs are no longer able to keep me standing, so I sit down in my chair with a plop and rub my face tiredly. Am I that obvious?
"No, not at all."
"Then how did you guess?" I wonder.
"Just a hunch."
"Huh.
That and I saw you guys in the break room kissing one day."
"What?" I cringe and bury my face in my hands. "Tony, I'm so sorry. That was so inappropriate." Oh my God. I rack my brain, trying to think of when Max and I kissed in the break room. It was only that very first time. I had no idea anyone even came in the room. I am so embarrassed. He chuckles.
"Relax, Monica. It was a relief to see a human side of you. You're always such a machine at work. I was happy for you.
Max is a good guy." I spread my fingers and peek at him. He smiles wide. I shut my fingers again and hide my face. "I can't believe you saw us so long ago and never said anything." What was there to say? It wasn't my business, and besides, it seemed like you guys were keeping it under wraps. Of course we were keeping it under wraps. It was so inappropriate for us to date to begin with. His eyebrows shoot up. What does that mean, because you work together? Well, yeah. I'm the director. I can't date a nurse in my department. I splutter. I don't think this is as big of an obstacle as you think it is. Have you talked to Finley? Just the mention of Dr. Finley makes me wish the ground would swallow me up. No, I sigh. But he knows we were dating. He saw us leave the fundraiser together. I'm just waiting for him to come talk to me about it. We're dating. Did you guys break up? Yes. I hope it isn't because of work. I'd rather not get into this with you, Tony. I'll be a blubbering pile of tears in about 5 seconds, and I'm guessing that's more human than you want to witness from me. Okay, okay. I'll let you go. But I think you should call Finley and talk to him about it. You might be surprised with what he has to say. No, thank you. That's a conversation I'm hoping to avoid for as long as I can. Have a good night. Night, Monica. I'm here if you need to talk. Thank you. My feet can't move fast enough to carry me out of here. This day needs to end.
Max.